Today's reading is from the 1 Thessalonians. As for us, brothers and sisters, when, for a short time, we were made orphans by being separated from you, in person, not in heart, we longed with great eagerness to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, wanted to again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we decided to be left alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God, in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith, so that no one would be shaken by these persecutions. Indeed, you yourselves know that this is what we are destined for. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When life gives you obstacles, sometimes you need a detour. Won't you pray with me? God, we are so grateful for just your presence here. And it is our prayer today that you give us the word we need, not just the word that we want. So God, we continuously stand on your promise that when your word goes out, it shall not come back void. So God, be with us now. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. When life gives you obstacles, sometimes you need detours. I want to suggest today that God must be directionally challenged. I would suggest today that God must have a very poor sense of direction. Because everyone knows that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. This is not just a mathematical fact, but it's also a spiritual and practical expectation. We want our faith journeys, we want our vocational journeys, we want our life journeys to look something like this. We like to get from point A to point B in the most direct and carefree route as possible. We prefer a journey with as few twists, turns, and bumps as possible. We like seamless. We like open roads. We like smooth sailing. We like easy. In fact, the GPS is so kind and compassionate that when you type in your destination, you can choose your preferred route. You can choose to avoid the cost of tolls. You can choose to avoid the hassles of highways. And you can choose the quickest and shortest way possible. If only God could be as compassionate and concerned as the algorithm of your GPS. Because nowhere in the Bible do you find simple and easy. God does not operate in straight lines. Here's what journeying with God really looks like. Journeying with God always includes roundabouts, Red Seas, wilderness experiences, unplanned interruptions, layovers in the belly of a fish, lion's dens, fiery furnaces, angels that throw your life off course, babies in retirement age, fortified cities and wall, conquering armies, outnumbered enemies, hardened hearts, impossible odds, and uncharted territories. God sends people left when he wants them to go right. Then right when God wants them to go left. God humbles them when God wants to exalt them. God will send future kings back into the fields, dreamers into prison cells, prodigal sons to the pens with pigs, nations into captivities, saviors to the cross. With God, the last are first, but the first are last. A grain of wheat must go down before it goes up. God will take a person all the way out to left field just to bring them back home again. God does not operate in straight lines. This is what journeying with God looks like. Which leads me to the conclusion that every journey includes detours. Doesn't matter how mature you are in your faith, every journey comes with something unplanned and unexpected that causes us to deviate from the regular route. We've all been there before. Driving along the highway, destination in our mind, minding our own business, the windows down, playing your favorite song, enjoying the ride, and from a distance you see that orange sign which ruins your day. You can just feel the anxiety rising inside of you. You can now see panic sitting in the passenger seat. No one enjoys a detour. They're frustrating. They're never convenient. When was the last time you prayed for God to give you a detour? When was the last time you got overly excited and turned up the music when you saw that orange sign? Because no one starts off their day planning to be on a detour, but they just happen. No one plans on losing a hubcap from a pothole at Indianapolis. They just happen. No one plans on getting pulled over for going 3 miles over the speed limit. No one plans on character flaws or marital problems. No one plans on cancer. No one plans for special needs. No one plans for downsizing. Even the most God-led, God-inspired, God-directed, and God-planned journey comes with detours. And yet how we deal with detours determines whether we can find joy on this journey. Because when we get to our text, Paul was no stranger to detours. Paul started his journey with a strong nudge from God, but Paul's road trip was anything but open roads. His letter to the Thessalonians is proof. In our text, he expresses his desire to visit them. Like many other cities, Paul started this church, and it was Paul's desire to visit them and encourage them in their faith. They have been facing trying times, and Paul doesn't want them to turn back now because Paul has a deep affection for this community. The tables have now somewhat turned because the one that formerly persecuted believers is now the one encouraging others in their own persecution. Paul's desire and Paul's destination was to get to this church in Thessalonica so that he could encourage them, and he describes being apart from them as though he was spiritually orphaned. On the surface, Paul's journey looks like it's come to a dead end. We aren't told why or how, but Paul's road trip is blocked by a closed road. There doesn't seem to be a way forward, And look at how Paul describes it in verse 18. Paul says, Satan blocked our way. Something or someone is standing in Paul's way, and he describes it as Satan himself was blocking his way. Is it just me, or does Paul sound really frustrated or being really dramatic, as though Satan was really blocking his way? But isn't that how it feels when the road ahead of you is closed? When your way is blocked, when your plans are interrupted, it feels like the world has personally conspired against you. And the story could have ended right there. Satan blocked our way, and the story could have been over. Something blocked your way, didn't get the job you wanted, didn't get the news that you were expecting, didn't work out as it planned. It could have ended right there. You could have placed a period. That's the end. Case closed. It's over. Because it's tempting because detours often look like dead ends. But dead ends signal denials. But detours are just delays. And that is an important delineation, because detours are not dead ends. They are not the end. They are not places where we place periods. It is not over. Detour suggests that the destination is delayed but not denied. Think about it. When you come to a detour, it's not suggesting that you won't ever get to your destination. It just means it would take you a little longer than expected. When you come to a detour, it's frustrating, it's upsetting, it's annoying, it's irritating, but it's only there for a moment. The reason why we don't like detours is because we know it's going to slow us down. Have you ever noticed you don't ever reach a detour when you have time to spare, but it's just when you're going somewhere in the nick of time and you need every second just to get there, that's when you hit your detour? We don't like them because it always slows us down. Whatever plans Paul had, they were now going to be delayed. But I think the cause for frustration is also a reason for celebration, because a journey delayed is not a journey denied. For instance, our journey here to Indianapolis physically was anything but seamless. Nicole and our middle daughter Olivia came out to Indianapolis early to get the living space ready for us. And I stayed back with our 6-year-old and then 1-year-old at the time to finish packing up things and attend some last minute meetings, getting the parsonage ready for the new pastor. But when we got to the airport, the flight was delayed by 2 hours. Can you say delayed?
Delayed.
No problem, because anyone can fill the time at an airport with a 6 and 1-year-old. But then Satan himself came on the loudspeaker, true story, and said that our flight had been delayed another 4 hours. Can you say delayed?
Delayed.
But no problem, I got this, because anyone can fill an additional 6 hours on top of 2 hours at an airport with a 6 and 1-year-old. And just when we thought the coast was clear, the world started to conspire against us. Our flight had been canceled for the day, and then we had to go stand in another long line to rebook our flight for the next day with the same 6 and 1-year-old that had been waiting there for the last 6 hours. Can you say delayed? Made it so bad, the guy at the hotel counter actually had the nerve to tell me that because our departing flight was from New Jersey, he couldn't offer us any accommodations for the night. But I had to remind him that we had been waiting there for the last 6 hours, and there was no way I was leaving this airport without the place to stay. So as it turns out, they gave us a hotel and some food vouchers. vouchers and need, but needless to say, it looked like it was going well. But our checkout time was at 10 a.m. and our departing flight wasn't until later on in the evening. So again, we found ourselves at the airport waiting with the same 6-year-old and 1-year-old to depart. And as if the Lord has a sense of humor, the same flight was delayed another 2 hours. Can you say delayed? As if Satan himself was trying to block our way getting to Indianapolis. Our oldest son had reached his breaking point and broke down in tears and asked a very important question: are we ever going to get there? Fair question. Because in his mind, the delays felt like denials. They looked the same, they felt the same. And we often respond the same. But at no point did we ever have to forfeit the destination. It was just going to take a little longer than expected. And we too get frustrated because our delays often feel like, often look like, often seem like denials. But detours are only for a moment. Which raises the critical question for every believer: am I willing to be disappointed now to experience joy later? Am I willing to be temporarily inconvenienced, temporarily rerouted, temporarily upset so that I can be fulfilled at a later date? Am I willing to be delayed in order to have my prayer answered? Because a journey delayed is never a journey denied. But if there are not dead ends, that means that there's a way of finding a way forward. But sometimes finding a way forward is hard, but it's not impossible. Here's why it's hard. Now, what do we do before every road trip? We map it out. We plan the stops, we plan the routes, we plan the spending, we plan the trip. At least to some degree, we all plan. But detours produce anxiety because it challenges us to go outside of those plans. Because by definition, the detour hints at a deviation from the normal route. The unspoken assumption is that there is only one route to the destination. And how we look at roads is often how we look at life. There's one route to success, there's one route to happiness, there's one route to companionship, there's one route to being a family. So what do? We start mapping it out. It's why we go to certain schools, why we major in certain things, why we join certain groups, why we need certain internships. And for many people, we aren't just committed to the destination, but we become obsessed with the one route to get there. So any deviations are viewed with a bit of skepticism and judgment, and that's why we often devalue and abandon our own journeys if it doesn't resemble what we perceive to be the normal route. But what if there are other routes available? Watch it. Paul had one destination in mind, and that was to encourage the church in Thessalonica. Paul admits that he's tried several times and he couldn't bear it any longer, so he had to recalculate and reroute. And as frustrated as he was, he had to think of another way. So instead of Paul being able to journey there himself, they have to send Timothy there instead. They had to find an alternate route, another solution. They had to think of a plan B. Paul had to be willing to abandon his plan and to commit to a completely different route. And herein lies what might be the hardest aspect when you run into that orange sign. Because at its core, detours are about detachments. At some point, Paul has to release himself of the idea of him visiting them in person. This is what he has put his mind to. This is what his desire was. But at some point along the way, Paul has to release himself of the idea. And this was the church he started. These were the people that he grew to love. He wanted to be the one that now encouraged them when they needed it the most. But at some point, he had to let go of that route. Sometimes the hardest part of the detour is not committing to a new direction. It is letting go of the path you thought that you were going to take. It's letting go of the plans that you've mapped out for yourself. It's painful detaching ourselves from the limited and constrained idea that we have mapped out for ourselves. But as Paul reminds us, there might be alternate routes. Think about it. Does it matter if your favorite singer was discovered on YouTube or by a famous record executive? Why? Because there are alternate routes available. Do people love each other less whether they met at a bar, met at church, or met online? Why? Because there are alternate routes available. I could tell you about the couple in New Jersey that had trouble having kids but took the path of IVF only to find out they were having twins and who's now recently started the process of becoming foster parents to adopt those children. Why? Because there are alternate routes available. It's the person I met in seminary who's now a starving artist, the person who finds love in their second marriage, or the person that finds just as much love and joy in being single. Why? Because there are alternate routes available. Because if I'm honest, when we journeyed to St. Luke's, being delayed in an airport, that was the easiest part. That was easy. The hardest part was with our plans. There's something you should know about us. Before we came, we had plans. We had plans to pastor a sizable, growing congregation together. We had plans of being a training ground for pastors who wanted to do ministry in and around urban areas. We had plans of planting churches in and around these urban centers. Because as America becomes more diverse, people my generation and younger are moving back to these places and desperately looking and searching for diverse communities. We had plans of developing curriculum with the needs of these diverse communities in mind. Because we decided that any church for the future would have to meet these growing needs of this changing nation, and the route to these plans was through New Jersey. So let me confess. The hardest part of the journey was not saying yes to one of the largest United Methodist churches in the nation. It was not saying yes to preaching in front of thousands. It was saying no to what we thought was our perceived route. It was detaching ourselves from the one route we thought was available. It was being open to an alternate route. Perhaps this is not just about our own limited thinking, but it is also about recognizing the expansiveness of God. Isn't God big enough? Isn't God big enough to not be so constrained with one route and one way and one path? Isn't God big enough for alternate plans and alternate routes? So the question we're challenged is, do I trust God enough to surrender the route I've planned, forego the life I've mapped out, and the willingness to live the life that God has paid? Not the one I've planned, but the one that God has paved. Not the one that I've developed the itinerary off of, but am I faithful and trustful enough in God's direction to give us the life, not that we've had mapped out, but the one that God has paid. Because some of the best things along the journey happen when they're not planned. So let's give Paul some credit. Paul didn't plan for any of this. Paul didn't even plan on preaching or starting churches. Paul didn't plan on getting stuck in Athens. Paul didn't plan on them experiencing trials. Paul didn't plan on being stuck in Athens. Paul didn't plan on this detour. But some of the best things we experience along the journey are things that were not planned. They were things that we didn't have mapped out. But watch Paul. Paul embraces the detour. Paul could have quit along the way, but Paul just finds another way. Things don't go as planned, but it still serves a purpose. Because Paul later in his letter, we learn that Timothy went in Paul's place, encouraged the church in Thessalonica, and that brought Paul unspeakable joy. Did Paul make it to the journey? He couldn't. Did Paul want to go? He most certainly did. Did things go as planned? Absolutely not. But was Paul's plan for encouraging the Thessalonians achieved? It most certainly was. It was all planned and unscripted, yet it still served its ultimate purpose in encouraging the Thessalonians in their faith journey. So now let me suggest to you this. There are two kinds of people in the world, just two. There are two kinds of people in the world. See where you fit. The first kind sees the orange detour, acknowledges the road closure, then they calmly proceed to the suggested detoured route. They obediently follow the detour signs, and after some delay, they pleasantly arrive back at their desired road, heading back towards their desired location. Then there's the rest of us. You're laughing because you know it's you. The suggestion of a detour causes us to use very descriptive and colorful language to describe the inconvenience, as if the world has conspired against us. So in order to overcome this conspiracy, we ignore any and all suggestions to get back on the main road and stubbornly try to figure out our own route, because surely they don't know best. Only to get more lost, more late, and more upset. Because the truth is, we didn't plan for any of this. But watch this. How many people can say that your life has always gone according to plan? Raise your hands. Raise them high. Okay, let me ask it again. Maybe you're still shy about raising your hands. How many of you can say that your life has always gone according to plan? Nobody in the choir. All right. Anybody in the balcony? Okay, nobody in the balcony. Why? Question. Nobody here can say that life has always gone according to plan. And that's the heart of the message. Maybe the joy is not found in living the dream, but in living the detour. It's embracing the detour, embracing the unplanned, embracing the deviations, embracing the plan B, embracing the detours because they're not dead ends, embracing them because there are alternate routes to the destinations, embracing them because just because they're unplanned doesn't mean they don't serve a purpose. So let's ask the question again. How many of you can say that life has always gone as planned? And how many of you can say that you found some joy in some season of your life? Because the joy is not in the planned, but it's finding the hope and peace even in the detours. We're not here living the dream. We're here because we're living the detour. Amen.